Hello, I'm Carol Off.
Good evening, I'm Barbara Budd. This is As It Happens. Tonight.
Should the government step in or should the protesters step off? A Tamil journalist in Toronto gives us his take on the movement for government intervention in Sri Lanka.
A Brian storming session. Former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney takes the stand and takes a stand in Ottawa.
Diminished return. After years of wrangling, accused Nazi war criminal and retired auto worker, the ailing John Demjanjuk is deported to Germany from the United States.
Fast food for thought. Eager to protect middle school students from the dangers of fatty junk, a Toronto school task force proposes lunchroom lockdowns.
Double toil and hubble. One scientist hopes that a tune-up of the powerful telescope will solve his dark energy crisis.
And Tolstoy once wrote, "Happy families are all alike," and he was absolutely right. Oh, except for the family of husky dogs that has welcomed a runaway piglet as brother and son. As It Happens, the Tuesday edition. Radio that salutes the magic of a fairy dog mother. To intervene or not to intervene? As international protests mount about Sri Lanka's tenuous endgame with the Tamil Tigers, most voices of the Tamil diaspora are discussing the situation in black and white terms, no shades of grey. But that's not the case for David Jeyaraj, a Tamil journalist based in Toronto. He used to publish a Tamil newspaper in the city, but that was before he was severely beaten for expressing his views in one of his paper's editorials. Nowadays, Mr. Jeyaraj runs a blog in which he reports critically on both the Sri Lankan government and the Tamil Tigers, or LTTE. And his community doesn't always like that. We reached him in Toronto.
Mr. Jeyaraj, what do the protesters want the Canadian government to do?
It's not very clear as to what exactly they want, but basically they want some kind of intervention by Canada in the Sri Lankan crisis. And I think they want Canada to exert pressure on the Colombo government to suspend the current military operation and declare a ceasefire and then negotiate.
Who are the protesters? Are they people who are wanting an independent Tamil homeland? Are they protesting against the attacks on the civilians? Can you give us a sense of who we're seeing in these demonstrations?
Yes. It's a mixture, a combination of different reasons. One, there is a genuine concern and worry on the part of many members of the Tamil diaspora about what's happening to their relatives and friends back home, because every day we have reports of civilians getting killed and injured. So there is that genuine fear. So many other people, they just want to do something and articulate that worry and try and put a stop to it. So that is one of the reasons why a lot of people are coming forward. At the same time, what is troubling about the protests is that there also seems to be a group that is manipulating this for a specific political agenda. That is, I think there are some elements who are very sympathetic or partial towards the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, who are using this genuine concern and that kind of feeling into a kind of pro-Tiger efforts too. Like, for instance, some of the demands are asking Canada to revoke the proscription on the LTTE and to recognize the LTTE as the representative of the Tamil people and things like that.
The LTTE, or the Tamil Tiger, the rebels, have been accused of many atrocities in this conflict now and over the years that they have been fighting. They've taken child soldiers, they have conducted suicide campaigns, they've killed civilians. Is it possible to support this campaign, this movement, without supporting the LTTE?
Theoretically, it is quite possible, and most desirable, because I do think that there is a very large humanitarian crisis, a catastrophe that is unfolding in Sri Lanka, and we must do something and try and prevent that. But what has happened is, like, as far as I recall, the first demonstration in Toronto, the largest one in late January. Now, that particular one, they did not bring the tiger flags or portraits of Mr. Prabhakaran, the leader of the LTT. And in that, a lot of Tamils participated, including myself. I also was there, because that was just to draw attention of the Canadian mainstream towards what was happening in Sri Lanka. But thereafter, once the tiger flags and these kind of partisan objectives started coming in, a lot of people, including myself, dropped out of this demonstration, because we don't want to be seen as being sympathetic or partial towards the LTT in any way. So, but what has happened is a sad thing in the diaspora is that long before this, there had been a virtual grip or monopoly on the diaspora by vociferous and strident minority supporting the LTT, and it is virtually impossible to hold mass demonstrations or any public protests of a major nature outside the scope of the LTT. So what I thought was that that for tactical reasons the LTT was backing out and letting the LTT means LTT sympathizers abroad were backing out and letting the people come to the fore. That's what I thought was happening in January. But then, and I thought that was opening up some space for a non-LTT mass Tamil demonstration. But that space has been blocked now.
We can't lose sight in the discussion of what's at stake here, and that's that there are 50,000 Tamils caught between government forces and the Tamil rebels right now in Sri Lanka, and also that there have been tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands have already been affected by this conflict, civilians who are caught between. How can people, Canadians and our politicians, how can we voice disapproval, anger about that without being caught up in the cause of the Tamil Tigers?
I think that is an ongoing dilemma for many of the Western governments, which have all banned the LTT on the one hand, and are therefore find themselves in an awkward position in trying to, what the UN and some other organizations have been, human rights organizations have been suggesting, and I think even the US wanted, is what they call a humanitarian pause. That is not a permanent ceasefire, but a temporary ceasefire that would give them some time to negotiate with the Tigers and see whether those people can be brought out without a hard military campaign. Whether this would succeed or not is a matter of conjecture. But I do think that option should be tried, and Canada can also put its efforts behind that such a move. But having said that, I must also say this. When a large Tamil diaspora with tiger flags, when they put pressure, when they exert pressure and adopt these kind of rough tactics to put pressure in Ottawa, and thereafter when Ottawa intervenes or tries to negotiate or talk to Colombo, Colombo will always turn around and say, you are doing this at the behest of tiger pressure. And that weakens Ottawa's hand right from the start, or for that matter any other Western nation. And from Colombo's point of view, is that after so many years, they have really brought and confined the LTT to a small territory. And it is the LTT, let us have no doubt about this, it is virtually a hostage situation. The LTT has brought those people and they are keeping those people in that area. Now, so Colombo is on the verge of victory after so many years. And what they are worried about is, I think, that if they give in to even a temporary ceasefire, that might become a permanent ceasefire and the LTT might get off the hook.
Mr. Jayaraj, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jayaraj.
As It Happens reached Tamil journalist David Jayaraj in Toronto.